Let's start where the weight of today's news sits most heavily, which is the U.S.-Iran confrontation. By the numbers, U.S. forces have struck 140 Iranian targets. Trump has said publicly he will likely strike Pickaxe Mountain, Iran's major nuclear facility in the Zagros Range. The president separately claimed that Iran's supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, is 90% gone, which is an extraordinary statement that has not been independently verified and which the Iranian government has not confirmed. And a Reuters or Ipsos poll found that 79% of Americans expect the conflict to be prolonged, with regional mediators, we're hearing Qatar and Oman are involved, still working to prevent full escalation.
The Pickaxe Mountain signal is the one I'd flag as genuinely significant for the strategic picture. That facility is buried deep. Estimates suggest some chambers are as far as 300 meters underground, which puts them beyond the reach of most conventional bunker-busting munitions. The U.S. has the GBU-57 Massive Ordnance Penetrator, which is designed specifically for deep-hardened targets and can penetrate roughly 60 meters of reinforced concrete. But 300 meters is a different challenge entirely, and whether a strike would actually neutralize Iran's nuclear capability or simply set it back by a few years is genuinely contested among defense analysts.
Which is exactly why the Trump administration's framing of this as potentially decisive matters so much, because the gap between the political narrative and the operational reality could be enormous. If you strike Pickaxe Mountain, you've crossed a line that makes Iranian retaliation not just likely, but obligatory from Tehran's strategic perspective. And the question becomes, what does that retaliation look like? We're already seeing the Cuban angle. Trump warned the U.S. would take care of Iranian drones reportedly present in Cuba. That's a callback to Cold War geography that carries its own symbolic freight.
The Cuba drone report is worth unpacking carefully because the sourcing is still thin. What we do know is that Iran has significantly expanded its drone program over the past 4 years, and the Shahed series drones, which Iran has been exporting to Russia for use in Ukraine, are long-range, relatively cheap, and increasingly capable. Iran establishing any kind of drone presence in the Western Hemisphere, even a small one, would be a direct challenge designed to force the U.S. to think about its own territorial exposure. It's asymmetric deterrence logic. If the U.S. can threaten Iran from regional bases, Iran wants the U.S. public to feel some geographic proximity to the conflict.
And then there's the school strike accountability piece, which is running in parallel and deserves its own moment. Democratic senators have given the Pentagon 1 week to release findings from the completed investigation into a U.S. missile strike that killed more than 175 people at an Iranian girls' school. That is an enormous civilian casualty figure from a single strike, and the fact that the investigation is reportedly complete, but the findings haven't been released, that's creating real pressure on Capitol Hill, even from some members who are broadly supportive of the military campaign.
This is where the international law and proportionality questions become unavoidable. The laws of armed conflict, specifically the principles of distinction and proportionality, require that strikes discriminate between military and civilian targets, and that civilian harm be proportionate to anticipated military advantage. Striking a school kills 175 civilians, and regardless of the intelligence assessment that may have preceded it, the political and legal exposure is substantial. The senator's one-week deadline suggests they expect the findings to be uncomfortable.
The U.S. ambassador's description of Tehran's leadership as crazy is also worth noting, not because it changes the strategic calculation, but because it signals a breakdown in the diplomatic framing that typically surrounds military conflict. When you publicly characterize your adversary's leadership as irrational, you've essentially foreclosed a certain category of negotiated off-ramp. Rational actors can negotiate. Crazy ones, by definition, can't be trusted at the table. That rhetoric has consequences for the ceasefire mediation efforts Qatar and Oman are reportedly pursuing.
And I want to bring in the Saudi-Taiwan drone angle here because it connects. Saudi Arabia has become the top buyer in Taiwan's rapidly expanding drone industry. Taiwan's drone sector has grown substantially on the back of lessons from Ukraine, and Saudi Arabia, which is watching Iran's drone capabilities with deep concern, is hedging by acquiring a diversified drone supply chain that isn't dependent on U.S. or European manufacturers. The Iran conflict is reshaping defense procurement across the entire Middle East, and Taiwan is a surprising but strategically logical beneficiary.